Hey, welcome back to 7-Minute Books. I'm Sam, and today we're digging into Paul Collier's The Future of Capitalism. Sophie, this book had me nodding and arguing with myself at the same time. What was your first reaction?
Sam, I was genuinely surprised by how personal it felt for an economics book. Collier isn't just crunching numbers, he's diagnosing a moral crisis. He argues that capitalism has lost its ethical compass, and that's why so many people feel left behind.
Right. And he doesn't just blame the usual suspects. He takes aim at three isms that have fractured our societies. The greed is good finance culture, a certain kind of cosmopolitan liberalism, and the cynical identity politics of the populist right. It's a toxic cocktail.
Exactly. And at the heart of it is this idea that we've been operating with a broken model of human nature. The homo economicus assumption that we're all rational, self-interested calculators. Collier says that's a useful fiction for some math, but a disaster for building a society.
Yeah, because we're not just calculators. We need belonging, recognition, purpose, and fairness. And when you ignore those needs, you dismantle the institutions that used to provide them, like family, community, and even the nation-state itself.
And the first visible symptom is that predatory financial sector. He's careful to say finance isn't bad per se. We need it to allocate capital. But deregulation and complex instruments turned it into a rent-extracting machine, where profits come from manipulating risk, not creating value.
And he makes this great point that bankers started seeing themselves as a meritocracy of the brilliant, forgetting their wealth depends on ordinary people's trust and savings. It corrupted the very idea of what a business is for. It's not just assets to strip, it's a community with a shared purpose.
That financialization hit the heartlands hard, like the American Rust Belt or the British Midlands. Communities built around a factory that provided jobs, identity, and a whole way of life. And when those plants closed, the elite just said retrain and move.
Which is so callous. It ignores the huge non-pecuniary costs of leaving your home, your family, your entire social fabric. You're not just relocating a resource, you're breaking lives. And that's how you get a landscape of broken towns and a deep well of bitterness.
Then Collier turns to the cosmopolitan elite, and this is where he gets controversial. He shares their commitment to universal values, but he argues their disdain for the local and national is a profound error. You can't feel duty to abstract humanity. You feel it for your neighbors and countrymen.
So by denigrating national identity, they cede the ground to populists who offer a toxic version of it. And the left behind have no voice in the mainstream. So they turn to demagogues promising to restore pride. It's a vicious cycle.
And populism is that third ism. It's a politics of resentment and division, scapegoating the other and promising a mythical golden age. But Collier says it's a dead end. Its policies are self-defeating and its rhetoric corrodes democracy. You can't solve 21st century problems by retreating to the 1950s.
So what's the alternative? He offers this pragmatic, reformist agenda built on three principles: mutual obligation, rebalancing power, and rehabilitating the nation-state. It's not a radical blueprint. It's about rebuilding the architecture around the market.
Let's unpack reciprocity first. He wants to reform the welfare state to be more active and conditional. Instead of just writing a check, offer training, job placement, and a clear expectation of contribution. Dignity comes from contributing, and passive support can be corrosive.
And on the tax side, he floats a progressive consumption tax. Tax what you spend, not what you earn or accumulate. Reward work and contribution over passive wealth. It's a fair way to raise revenue.
Then there's rebalancing power. For decades, it's shifted in favor of capital over labor. He suggests giving workers a stronger voice in corporate governance, maybe representation on boards, and reforming competition policy to break up monopolies and give small businesses a chance.
But the big one is rethinking the corporation itself. The idea that a company's sole purpose is shareholder value is relatively recent and destructive. He wants a broader understanding, responsibilities to employees, customers, suppliers, and the community. Not nationalization, but a legal framework that encourages long-term, responsible behavior.
And finally, the nation-state. He sees it as essential for democratic accountability and collective action. It's the only institution with the scale and legitimacy to tackle issues like climate change and inequality. But it needs reform, investing in public services, and creating a shared civic identity that's inclusive but grounded in common values.
He's particularly sharp on immigration. The left ignores working class concerns about wages and culture, and the right ignores the benefits. He wants a managed system that prioritizes skills and family reunification, invests in integration, and is transparent about costs and benefits. Restore trust, have an honest conversation.
And he emphasizes the importance of place. We're obsessed with mobility, with the idea that success means moving anywhere for opportunity. That concentrates talent in a few superstar cities and leaves the rest to stagnate. We need to invest in the places left behind, not just with handouts, but with real infrastructure and institutions.
Underneath all those policies is a moral argument. Collier isn't a technocrat, he's a moralist. He believes capitalism can only survive if it's embedded in a shared ethical framework of mutual interdependence, fairness, and pride in collective achievement. Reject the nihilism of market fundamentalists and the cynicism of populists.
And he's not naive. He knows the path is hard. The financial sector will resist. The elite will resist. The populace will resist. But the alternative is worse. If we don't reform capitalism from within, it will be destroyed from without, leading to collapse or instability or even war.
What I'm taking away is that hope isn't wishful thinking. It's a clear-eyed analysis of our problems and a pragmatic vision for solving them. It's a call for a politics that's neither left nor right, rooted in duty, reciprocity, and belonging. Seeing ourselves as citizens of a shared nation, not isolated competitors.
And if you want to go deeper, the whole library is over on 7minutebooks.com/app with over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles you can read or listen to in any language. It's $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 for lifetime access. Worth checking out. The future of capitalism, Collier argues, depends not on the invisible hand of the market, but on the visible hand of a society that chooses to be just. We'll see you in the next one.